darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. My name is Abraham Hamilton III. I am your host. And I am joined by the corner contingent right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa. Hey, Bobby, which side are you on? Oh, we're going to get into it. And in the screening room, often imitated but never duplicated, the real J-Mac is in the building, producer extraordinaire. We're ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. I'm going to just tell you now, I am going to run out of time before I run out of show today because we have a lot on deck to get to. At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income. That's right. Income generation is a part-time commitment because our full-time job, is outcome cultivation. If you are a member of God's eternal family, as I am, you have been tasked, as I have been, with outcome cultivation, the Great Commission's execution. Jesus said it himself, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. The authority for disciple making is Jesus' own authority. The purpose of us being made disciples is so that we can become disciple makers. If the Lord intended for us to be in his eternal manifested presence right at this moment, that is where we would be. But if you're wondering why the Lord saved you, yet nevertheless gave you time to persist on this side of eternity, I'm telling you very plainly why he did so, that you would be a part of his remnant that would execute his commission, that you would serve as his hands and feet, inviting women to join our Lord's eternal family by appealing to them intellectually, by appealing to them, appealing to their hearts, by trusting God with your faithful execution of his command. And here's the beautiful thing. Duty is ours, but results are the Lord's. He hasn't called us to bean count over the effectiveness of our witness. Now, let me be clear about something. We have a duty on our end in order to be appropriate witnesses. But the results is what I'm saying. The results of that witness is up to the Lord. What is foremost required of a servant is that he or she be found faithful. And my goal and my hope and my prayer for you, my goal for myself, my hope for myself, and my goal and my hope for you and my prayer for you is that when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that we will be able to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Then I'll say this. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, that he will lay down his life for his loved ones. Because God is so good, I cannot fathom a greater demonstration of hatred towards one's fellow man than to keep the way, the truth, and the life a secret. I can fathom no greater display of antipathy for mankind than for you to know the way to eternal life, yet keep it to yourself. Hence, outcome cultivation is our full-time jobs. So as you're making your transition from your part-time gig to your full-time gig, I want to remind you, what goes on in your house is far more important than what goes on in the White House, because ground zero for outcome cultivation is right in our own homes. As we batten down the hatches at home, we work outwardly from there. To the Word of God we go. Proverbs chapter 16 is where I want to go today. Just by way of reminder, the Bible is a book, but actually is comprised of multiple books. 66 books written across 1,500 years, 40 different human authors. The various books includes various genres. It has narrative. It has history. It has poetry. It has Bible prophecy, all right? It has wisdom literature. The book of Proverbs is one of the books that would be comprised of wisdom literature, all right? The book of Proverbs, and then I'm explaining this way because you have, for example, you have narratives in common literature. You have poetry. And then a subset of poetry, you have sonnets would be a subset of poetry. You have acrostics would be another subset of poetry. All righty. I'm illustrating that because you would not evaluate a Shakespearean sonnet the same way you would evaluate a historical presentation of the life of George Washington. Would you? No. The Bible is the same way. And the book of Proverbs is one of the sources in Scripture where you can plumb the depths of individual proverbs as opposed to like a narrative. You would have to have an entire chapter. For example, an epistle. You would want to understand a particular verse in an epistle within the scope of the entire epistle, all right? Proverbs is a different portion of literature in that it consists of proverbial wisdom sayings, all right? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31 is the one proverb I want to present to you for your consideration today. And it says this, and the King James, it says, "The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness." I'll read it again. And if you're watching the show, it's on the screen for you. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Other translations communicate the same point. A gray head is a crown of glory when it is found in the way of righteousness. The simple biblical communication or the articulation from this proverb is this. And this is going to challenge some contemporary thoughts. Gray hair is not automatically evidence of wisdom. And I'm telling you, I know my father took a long time to gray, so I'm not expecting to have gray hair anytime soon. You see, as you see Maria, she has a head full of gray streaks. I don't have any. Hey, I'm just telling the truth. And my wife has gray streaks. I have none. I remember one time I had one gray hair. I thought of my beard. I was looking for it. It wasn't hiding from me. I'm looking forward to the gray hair stage. I'm just not there yet. Often we assume that a hoary head or gray hair is evidence of wisdom or is a crown of life automatically. And I was one. I was raised. Thanks be to God I was raised this way. That you respect your elders. To this day, I say yes, sir, and no, sir. You know? But the scripture is revealing something to us that a gray head, a hoary head, could be a crown of life or it could not be a crown of life. The gray hair may be evidence of wisdom, but it may not necessarily be evidence of wisdom. What the scripture is saying is that a hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Here's what the scripture is saying. Wisdom and maturity are not automatically the result of chronological time spent on our Lord's planet. Wisdom and maturity is the product of time spent on our Lord's planet in submission to the Lord's guidance and instruction through his holy word. I'm going to say that again. Wisdom and maturity are the products of time spent on our Lord's planet in submission to the wisdom and authority and guidance of God communicated to us by his holy word. A hoary head that is not found in the way of righteousness is not a crown of glory. I've said before, kind of tongue in cheek, you've heard the whole old phrase, ain't no fool like an old fool. The unfortunate reality is that we have plenty of people in our world who have the clear evidence that they've been around for a little while. The clear physical evidence they've been around for a little while. But that alone is not evidence of wisdom, maturity, and a crown of glory. One of my favorite things to do is to spend time with a seasoned saint who has been walking with the Lord for a while. I cannot tell you the fount of wisdom that I have enjoyed from being able to rub shoulders and spend time with godly people in their older years as they reflect on life. I truly, truly enjoy that. I learned that from my pastor in New Orleans, who one of my first assignments when I was an intern at my local church was that I spent time with the seasoned saints, and my job was to minister to them. And I'll never forget one of my favorite, Brother LaFrance. He would be waiting for me to come, and when I would come, I would literally just sit down for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, and he would just pour and pour and pour. I'm telling you, this is a brother who never went to seminary, who never went to anybody's Bible school, but he wrote a book, and he wrote it by hand that was, I'm telling you, one of the best commentaries on the scripture I've ever read in my life. And in fact, when he passed away, he left that book to me, but because I didn't want to cause any problems, I made sure that his biological relatives had that book. But having the privilege of being able to sit at the feet of this elder brother in the Lord, and not just him, but he was just one of the highlights that stick out more than anybody. He passed away. He's been long passed away by now. Long passed away now. But to sit and to hear this brother share his insights in God's word as the Spirit of God was enlightening him. Oh, man, it was... one of the highlights of my life to this very day. And I'm saying this today in order to present this as an aspirational pursuit for us. One of the goals I have for myself, should the Lord tarry, and he allows me to get to the place where I have a hoary head, one of the goals I have, one of the desires I have, is I want my hoary head to be a crown of life. And the hoary head to be a crown of life because it is found, because I am found in the way of righteousness. The way that the proverb reads, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. If the hoary head be found walking in a life of righteousness. See, in the kingdom of God, there is no such thing as a disciple's retirement mindset. No, in the kingdom of God, we don't retire, we refire. If the Lord changes our station, changes our trajectory, changes the place where we have in life, where we are in life, but we still are in a posture where we're seeking to be maximally fruitful in our Lord's kingdom because we recognize, we understand that the Lord knows all of the days that have been ordained for us. He's known all of them before any of them came to be. Psalm 139 tells us this. So we recognize that the time that we have, that we're living at his behest. So we seek to utilize it maximally for his glory. And as we walk with the life, this is why the discipleship mandate, and I say this often, that every believer should have an Apostle Paul in their lives and a Timothy. Some of us, we should be Apostle Paul's, but one of the insidious demonic attacks is that there is a protraction of spiritual adolescence. An arresting of spiritual development. And the Hebrew writer says at the time that you should be able to help and teach others, you have need to be taught again the basic principles of the faith. But the body of Christ should have an aspirational desire to live out Proverbs 16:31. That we have a life's course. That we have a course that we look back. Say, man, look at what God has done. And the way that we have this life course is we don't say, hey, you know, Bobby, in the next 20 years, I'm going to be thus and so. No. The way we have that life's course is that we follow him daily. That we follow him daily. If anyone come after me, Luke 9:23, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This is a daily mandate. And the sum total, the cumulative impact of this, that day by day we pursue the way of righteousness, is that we get to follow and become a part of the ranks of the Proverbs 16:31. A hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. That is the desire that I have. Young people who are listening to me, I set this before you as an aspirational goal. That as I approach the ranks of the hoary head, this hoary head stage of my life, that my hoary head would be a crown of life because that head is found in the way of righteousness. Ain't no fool like an old fool. But boy, what a treasure it is for a hoary head to be found in the way of righteousness.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
God spoke the world into existence. God used his words to create the universe. God's words are powerful, but a very important truth that God wants to convey to us in his word is that our words are powerful as well. Not saying they're as powerful as God's, obviously, but they are certainly much more powerful than I think we tend to think. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. A soft word turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Are my words fruitful? Are they words that honor God, that build God's kingdom? Or are the words I speak words that tear down, that cause difficulty, that make life tough? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body.
While in the emergency room with my wife, as she was struggling with the COVID-19 virus herself, and I looked at her, I said, "Are you scared?" And she said, "A little bit, but I've been through worse."
The Certainty of Mankind's History with Uncertainty, an article by Peter Rosenberger.
And then, as her fever was approaching almost 103, she started singing In Christ Alone. I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. And that's how she has anchored herself in the certainty of Christ through her huge medical journey that has included 80 surgeries, both of her legs amputated, 100 doctors have treated her, 12 hospitals, and now the COVID-19 virus. And so when we live with those kinds of uncertainties, anchoring ourselves in Christ alone, that's the only place we can run to where there is certainty.
To read this article and more, visit afa.net/the stand.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. I didn't finish the quote from Luke 9:23. If any would come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. That is how you establish the course that concludes, or that is directed toward the hoary head being a crown of life. All right. Let me see. Oh, no, sir. We on live. I'm going to get to now what I ran out of time getting to yesterday. And then I have some other things like President Trump saying today, once again, I want to see the Department of Education close immediately. Oh, boy, I'm telling you. Don't you threaten me with a good time. Good night. Lindy Lee. And I'm gonna add on to my theory from yesterday, Bobby, when you were asking me about it. What's her angle? Lindy Lee, former regional chair for the Democrat National Committee, former fundraiser for the Democrat National Committee, all the way up to the Harris campaign just now. Now she's made an immediate scratch about face, and she's exposing all of the secrets. Let's remember that old movie Gremlins when the little gizmo-like thing got the water on him, turned into, I think, his spike or whatever. He had the little coat on, like, ah, you know, that's what Lindy Lee is doing for the Democrat Party. You know, she's exposing everything. She said, the Harris campaign say they didn't pay Oprah. They paid Oprah. They paid Harpo Productions. What is Harpo spelled backwards? Oprah. $2 million. But, oh, yeah, they paid Beyonce not once but twice. And Beyonce didn't even sing. You know, they paid Cardi B. They paid all of these people. Gross mismanagement of the donors' funds. And it's like, and Bobby asked the question, what's her angle? Why all of a sudden is she coming clean? I mean, I'll just tell you very plainly. I was going to say that later. One of the main reasons why I think she's coming clean is, one, she realizes the bankruptcy of the Democrat Party. But, frankly, this isn't new. But two, more importantly, I think she's witnessed the fallout for other recent Democrat and Democrat-affiliated people who have aligned themselves more particularly with President Trump. And, they not only fared well, now they're nominating the presidential cabinet. I mean, let's not forget RFK Jr. literally was running against President Trump for the presidency in 2024. You know, let's not forget that the now head of the Department of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, who was confirmed today, by the way, she ran against President Trump. When she ran for the Democrat nomination, she was running to be the Democrat nominee to run against President Trump in 2020. But now those people not only have fared well, they're in cabinet positions. So Lindy Lee is like, if I just make an adjustment, things might fare well for me. Oh, did I mention that Lindy Lee went immediately from being a fundraiser for the Democrat Party as recent as the Harris campaign, that she transitioned to become, a fundraiser for President Trump's inaugural committee? Did I mention that yet? You see, these are some of the things that could be contributing to her willingness to show where the bones are buried. Yes, 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 yes. Now, getting to the substance of the matter. Lindy Lee, again, she's making the rounds. She's going on podcasts. She's doing all kinds of interviews, showing everything what's going on. She was recently on the Sean Ryan show, Sean Ryan's podcast. It's not as big as Joe Rogan's, but it is a popular podcast, quite popular. And it got to the point to where Sean Ryan said, well, wait a minute. If this is who Mr. Joseph Robinette Biden was, who was running the Oval Office for these last 4 years? Who was manning the presidency? I mean, she, in terms of showing where the bones are, she said, oh, yeah, the Joe Biden, they were injecting him with some kind of injection before he would go to participate in debates and all kind of things, because you would see all these other things when he would show up to the debates. He's wide-eyed and say, oh, yeah, they were injecting him with some kind of injection. They did it in North Carolina before the debate, and then he faded and all these kinds of things. So she's exposing all of the dirt, and it's true. And these are things that we have surmised on this program for quite some time, but now you have someone who's on the inside confirming what we said. I want you to listen to Lindy Lee explaining to Sean Ryan that, by the way, we all knew Joe Biden wasn't running the White House. Oh, yeah. The Biden administration was actually Barack Obama's third term. That's what she said out loud. Listen to and watch clip number 4. Go.
Who was running the presidency for the last 4 years? A lot of people say it was Obama's third term. There's rumors of, you know, these are friends of mine that are moderate Democrats say that they thought it was Elizabeth Warren running it. They thought it was Bernie Sanders running it. But I think the general consensus, I think if you ask, you know, the majority of the population, they think it was Obama's third term.
It was for sure Obama's third term. I don't think that's even a question. I don't think anyone, it definitely was. And that's why you saw Obama fighting for his dear life. Why was he fighting so hard in the fall? Because he was fighting for his fourth term. He was fighting for his own legacy. The relationship between Obama and Biden is most reminiscent of that between LBJ and JFK. JFK had little respect for Lyndon B. Johnson, but he picked him anyway because he wanted to win the South. He wanted to win Texas. But he had very little respect for LBJ's intellect. JFK was surrounded by his Harvard brain trust, and he had immense disdain for LBJ's Texas Hill Country vibe. And that was the same attitude that Obama had towards Biden.
Now, if you've been listening to this show for any length of time, you know, we knew that. And we've known that for quite some time. And the way we've known that is several reasons. You've heard within the realm of politics, the whole adage that that personnel is policy, right? All of Biden's staffers were Obama people. And then you also know that because we've long established on this show that the legacy media is nothing more than Goebbels, Inc. They are the American Pravda, the media apparatus to accomplish the American apparatchik of Marxism by providing media cover for this. One of the most obvious evidences of this, and I'm going to continue to say this, is that there has never been in American history a former president who literally moves 5 miles down the street from the White House. It has never happened in American history. Yet, It was the absolute non-story for the last 8 years. I'm just like, Ray Charles can see what y'all are doing. So it's not one story that's going to just kind of squeak out to say, hey, by the way, we notice all kind of black vehicles showing up at the Obama's Colorama mansion down the street from the White House. There's never been any story. I wonder who goes to visit Barack Obama. How often is he there? What is his routine now that he's out of office? You didn't see any of those stories, right? Why didn't you see them? Because they already knew the answer. And they didn't want the American people to know that Weekend at Bernie's was actually Weekend at Bernie's. Homeboy told you, if I could arrange a situation where I could be in the basement and still run the government, and there's a front man. He literally said that. There's a front man who's up front and is the face of what's happening, but I'm calling the shots. I'd go for that. He literally says this, then moves 5 miles down the street. If he go jogging in the morning, he going to run by 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And not a word. That was game, set, match for me. I was like, it's plainly obvious what's going on. And then you got all these stories after the fact. Oh, right now, Joe Biden can't function. Oh, look at the debate performance. They've been knowing that. But now you have Lindy Lee, who is a high-level fundraiser. And if you're wondering how you make your way up in politics, largely where you can get access to big donors, you get all kinds of handshakes. This is who Lindy Lee really was. And so Lindy Lee, after the Harris campaign squanders, they say $1 billion, but it actually was $2 billion because the campaign itself raised $1 billion, but the PACs associated with the Harris campaign had another billion. So they literally squandered $2 billion for during an election, and she's one of the chief fundraisers for it. But after the fact, she's like, oh, and look at all of these expenditures. Why you ain't say that when it was going on? You ain't slick, Lindy. You looking at RFK over there going, hmm. You looking at Tulsi and going, hmm. Maybe it's time a good time to jump ship. Anyway, putting that aside, she's confirming what we long have said. And not only was it Obama's third term that he was, you know, lecturing black men, you need to get out and vote, because he's contending for his legacy for his fourth term. So, good old Lindy, I mean, pardon me, I just like to ask questions. Should we not consider Obama complicit and 10% off the top for the big guy? should we not? And this is another reason. I'm going to pivot this story with the same theme, but I want to show you guys, listen. The devil is the devil for a reason, but I want to tell you something. He's not smart. He's just been around people for a long time. And he throws everything and the kitchen sink at people. And it is where we have necessary inclinations and proclivities that we have contention at certain points. That's why the Apostle James said, you know, we are all led away of our own lusts. But what ends up happening is that the devil and his minions, they rinse and repeat the same strategies. So they accuse, and now I'm talking about, is regressives, particularly in the psychological warfare, the Gramscian Marxist efforts, and as the spokespersons for regressivism in America, they, and the expose on USAID has revealed all of this, that you have American taxpayer dollars being used to impose psychological warfare on American people through various media outlets. Do we even need to go in how USAID underwrote the research efforts that resulted in the various impeachments of President Trump? Can I make this stuff up? Well, the same media outlet is literally working overtime along with regressive politicians. So you're starting to hear people like, you know, Joyless Reed, you know, and Liawatha. In case y'all don't know what that is, that's Senator Elizabeth Warren, you know, because she says she's Indian, you know. Liawatha, you. And this is not just she literally put that on her bar application to become an attorney, that she was Indian. I'm sorry, her admissions into her pursuit of her legal studies and career. Liawatha and others are starting to say over and over and over again, co-president Musk, Time Magazine just literally came out with an article. Go ahead and put the image of the cover of the article on the screen, Jeff. Go ahead and put the image on the screen. Time Magazine just published this recent article of their magazine where they show an image of Elon Musk behind the Resolute desk. You see this image? Have you seen this image, Bobby? And you have all of these questions. The day this magazine hit, you had, you know, a journalist saying, "Whoa, Mr. Trump, do you have any reaction to Time Magazine issuing an article with the cover artwork is Elon Musk sitting," and this is a specific question, "sitting behind your Resolute desk." You see that imagery. You see all of these statements about co-president Musk. Isn't it amazing? You didn't hear one time anybody say anything about a co-president when you knew we had Weekend at Bernie's under the Biden administration. They knew it. We knew it. Obama's 5 miles down the street. You never once had heard any of these journalists. What a kind reference. Propagandists. You never heard any of these propagandists say anything about co-president anybody during the Biden administration. In fact, they worked overtime to assure you, "Oh, he's fit as a fiddle. He's right as rain. Joe Biden has never been as fit as he is right now." Never any of those suggestions. But now you see all of these things about co-president, right? Why are you seeing that? I'll tell you very plainly why. Tell you very plainly what's going on. What they are attempting to do is to try to provoke President Trump based upon what we all know had his outsized ego. They're trying to bait him into allowing pride to erupt in him like a volcano that cannot be concealed so that he distances himself from Elon Musk. So far, President Trump hasn't taken the bait. And this is one of those, and I know the Trump administration listens to this show because it's amazing. Things happen on this show. Next thing you know, you see President Trump doing some of this stuff. What they are attempting to do is try to provoke President Trump into distancing himself from Elon Musk, and they're trying to bait him to allowing his pride to cause it to happen. And I simply would say, President Trump, don't fall for the bait. When he was asked this question in the Oval Office, you know, you have a foreign dignitary sitting next to President Trump. Why are y'all asking questions about, "Oh, did you see Time Magazine's cover? What do you think about them showing an image of Elon Musk sitting behind your Resolute desk?" Do you have a response? His initial response is no. Then he came back with, Time Magazine, they're still in business? I didn't know. And then you have all of the media pundits, "Oh, he said that because he really, his pride was hurt. He was offended by the fact." Listen, President Trump, don't fall for it. That's how you know it's working. These people are scared to death. And I'm highlighting this for you so that you can see the insidious efforts at work. Why? When we knew that Mr. Biden's elevator wasn't going all the way up to the top floor. All of these stories coming out now. Hey, after 3 o'clock, President Biden wasn't even available. He's taking a nap. He's eating his ice cream. He's going to sleep. He doing all of these other things. You never heard any of those stories. But now, at 21 days in, the most active and I would argue effective first 3 weeks of a presidency, certainly in my lifetime. And yet, they're saying, "Oh, yeah, hell, well, co-president Musk. It's merely trying to bait him into harming himself. Very similar to the efforts to bait him before. And they said, "Oh, Russian collusion. You have to have your attorney general who has to recuse himself. Jeff Sessions has to recuse himself." And they fell for it in the first term. I'm simply saying, President Trump, don't fall for the bait. They're afraid because they're losing. Their gravy train is being exposed, and we're only 3 weeks in. This is going to be, I pray, the most consequential term because President Trump doesn't have anything else to lose. So you exposing the dirt and the bones and the skeletons, go all the way.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we've removed the letters ing. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
As a nurse, I primarily work with children who are abused and exploited in trafficking, and I frequently see very unfair situations. We must talk about the issue of abuse. We can't base our actions on fear. We have to be faith-informed in what we do.
The Dr. Nurse Mama Show, For more from Dr. Jessica Peck, tune in at 2 p.m. Central on American Family Radio or on the podcast page at AFR.net.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Just before coming on the air, President Trump was in the Oval Office. Once again, holding an open-ended session, fielding questions from reporters. I mean, he does it every day, almost every day. And a reporter asked him a question about the Department of Education. His response, I'd like it, the Department of Education, that is, to be closed immediately. Listen to and watch clip number three. Clip number three, go.
So how soon do you want the Department of Education to be closed?
Oh, I'd like it to be closed immediately. Look, the Department of Education's a big con job. They rank the top 40 countries in the world. We're ranked number 40th. But we're ranked number one in one department, costs per pupil. So we spend more per pupil than any other country in the world, but we're ranked number 40. We've been between 38 and 40. The last time I looked, it was 38. And then I looked 2 days ago, it came out the new list. It came out at number 40. So we're ranked 40. Norway, Denmark, Sweden, I hate to say it, China, as big as it is, it's ranked in the top five. And that's a primary competitor. We're ranked number 40. So if we're ranked number 40, that means something's really wrong, right? And I say send it back to Iowa, to Idaho, to Colorado. Send it back to places that, and there are a lot of Indiana. You have a great new governor. You have a great senator that Jim Banks just got elected. You got great people. I'll tell you what, Indiana is going to be fantastic. We probably have 35, maybe 37 states that will do as well as Denmark, Norway, Finland, Sweden. They'll be just as good.
Bring it back to the states. Now, I will tell you, the Trump administration right now is considering issuing an executive order that would relocate many of the Department of Education's functions to other agencies. So the executive order, if the president issues it, that he would set the stage for severely reducing, if not completely closing, the Department of Education, which I know would be a challenge. You have all kind of funding things, and you have certain things when we go back, the Department of Education was created by congressional statute under Jimmy Carter. No, it's not that old. No, it just dates back to Jimmy Carter. Okay, it's not something that's been for the long haul. But the president is considering issuing an executive order that would relocate many of the functions of the Department of Education to other federal agencies, setting the stage for severely contracting, if not outright closing, the Department of Education. Should he issue that executive order, he would also call on Congress to pass legislation. To pass legislation that will completely dismantle the department. Well, not to be outdone, there was a little protest this morning that produced, I cannot make this stuff up, what I believe may end up to become the dirge of regressivism for the year 2025. This protest was fielded by and attended by union workers, some federal employee worker unions and some education union workers, where they decided that they wanted to express their disdain for what was going on with President Trump and what Elon Musk and Doge were doing. And they decided to offer their sentiments with a musical offering. I listened to it, so now you have to. Listen to and watch. Clip number one, go.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Tell me.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on? We'll fight against Doge. We'll fight Elon Musk. No Elon's kept within our walls. We'll fight from dawn to dusk. Oh, which side are you on? Which side are you on?
I'm giving you a task, Jeff. I need the remix. I need a backbeat put to that. I'm telling you, which side are? And then whoever that was in the background, tell me. Oh man, these people are wild. You cannot make this up. Wait, Jeff, one more time. This is kind of what the remix is going to be. I'm telling you, this is going to be the dirge of regressivism. Yeah, from the top. This is going to be the dirge of regressivism. This is how they know they're losing. When you're ready, go.
Oh, which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Tell me.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on? We'll fight against Josh. We'll fight Elon Musk. No Elon's kept within our walls. We'll fight from dawn to dusk. Oh, which side are you on? Which side are you on? Which side are you on? Trump's coming for our unions. He wants us all to fail. He wants us to bow to him, but we want him in jail. Oh, which side are you on?
Go ahead and turn this off. This is crazy, guys. And it's hilarious. It always makes me laugh how they squeeze in the shot to try to make it look like more people than who were there. I'll tell you what side I'm on. The side where I'm blessed to have a mute button for you. That's the side I'm on. I'm on the side of the babies learning to read. How about that? I'm on the side where we're no longer number one in spending per pupil, but number 40 in their ability to perform. How about that? I'm on the side of children in Chicago being able to read and do math at proficiency levels. In fact, not merely proficiency, but actually in excellence. In all over the country. It's high time for us to recognize. And look, and anybody else, you guys, oh my goodness, if you close the Department of Education, what's going to happen? You just ask them this question. You say, oh, really? You concerned about the Department of Education closing? Can you tell me where America ranked in educational performance before the Department of Education's founding under Jimmy Carter? And since the Department of Education was created under Jimmy Carter, has educational results for American children been better or worse? Just ask the simple questions. Because most of the people who will tell you they would object to it, they don't even have a clue what the answers to those questions are. Let alone knowing that it only dates back to Jimmy Carter. Let alone knowing nothing really was but a political favor offered to teachers unions because Jimmy Carter was afraid of losing re-election, which he ultimately did anyway. It's insane. Can the babies read? That's the question. Has the Department of Education resulted in an increase in performance for America's children or a decrease? Simple questions. Simple questions. Oh, man, so many things to get to. Can the babies read is what the question needs to be. Let me offer this to you. Oh, yeah, we got to go to this one. So, through Doge's activities, we learned that in spite of the directive issued by President Trump and the executive order implemented by President Trump, FEMA, the Federal Emergency and Management Administration, issued $59 million to the state of New York to provide for illegal aliens to live in luxury hotels, right? And it was so funny. You had some people in New York saying, well, the money that they received from FEMA, it was used for luxury hotels, but not at luxury rates. It's like that made it better. Oh, so you got a discount because the federal government agreed to spend $59 million. Kind of like the same way when any organization gets a block of rooms, they get a discount. Oh, gee. Well, the chief financial officer at FEMA, Mary Comans, two program analysts, and a grant specialist were all fired today. Oh, yeah. The man ain't playing. Listen to and watch clip number two.
The Department of Homeland Security fired four employees, including the chief financial officer of FEMA, for payments made to New York luxury hotels that housed migrants. We want to show you some of the statement that was obtained by News Nation. This is from the Department of Homeland Security, and it says in part, quote, effective immediately, FEMA is terminating the employment of four individuals for circumventing leadership to unilaterally make egregious payments for luxury New York City hotels for migrants, and adding, quote, DHS will not sit idly and allow deep state activists to undermine the will and safety of the American people.
Deep state activists, which side are you on? Tell me. Deep state activists, gone. Man, they're not playing. They're not playing. And, of course, as I mentioned, the Trump administration has indicated that they are pursuing a return of that money back to FEMA. President Trump has even said that FEMA should be shut down, too, because of their shenanigans. And I just want to remind you, you know, y'all know me. I have this tendency of having a memory that's a little bit longer than the issue of the moment. You want to just come go with me a little bit down memory lane, not that far down memory lane. May I remind you that FEMA is the exact same agency that claimed that it didn't have funding sufficiently to respond to the disasters in East Palestine, Ohio. Remember that? FEMA couldn't respond quickly because, you know, they didn't have enough funds. How about the fires in Maui? Remember FEMA didn't have enough money for that, and recently in the hurricanes in North Carolina. Remember, FEMA didn't have enough money to respond, but magically, in spite of a direct order in the opposite direction from the chief executive of the federal government, FEMA somehow got $59 million just to send for luxury hotels. Can I make this stuff up? Can I make it up? We'll have money for that. And of course, I mean, need not say, remember the FEMA official that got busted because she told her agents, hey, if you see houses in North Carolina with Trump flags, no, that's in Florida, I'm sorry. You see houses with Trump flags, go ahead and skip them. Go ahead and skip them. And you know, because we don't want to subject you to trauma. Yet, illegally found $59 million to send on a slide for luxury hotels in New York. What if that doesn't give you a little bit of hot heart boing? My grandmother would say, well, that give me a heart boing. That don't give you a little bit of heart boing. That's a shame. And this, when you talk about the corruption, the waste, the fraud, and the abuse, these are the things that we're talking about. These are the things that we're talking about. I had a whole thing. I guess I'll set this up and may have to address this tomorrow because I'm going to take a bit of time. Because one of the things I believe the Trump administration needs to do while they have this momentum and with the urgency of this moment is to strike an appropriate balance for the roles that the court is supposed to play in America. The federal court is not supposed to be the vehicle by which all things that the American people, remember that whole deal, we the people, government of the people, by the people, for the people, that we the people voted for, with all of the record support for President Trump, the American people largely, overwhelmingly supporting what is happening here, in spite of, tell me,
which side or,
in spite of that, the majority of the American people are rocking with President Trump right now. And as I mentioned earlier, it's not a new tactic, the same old tactic, they're running back. A part of the 2016 strategy is to try to use litigation to thwart the presidential administration's prerogatives. Well, you have rogue individual district court judges that will announce nationwide edicts to stop the president's momentum. And it's high time for the American people to understand while the court has the role of interpreting the law in terms of cases and controversies before it, the court is not the sole observer, evaluator, and determiner of what is constitutional in America. Constitutional law is not the province exclusively of the court system. In fact, the president, the executive branch, the judiciary, and Congress all have a role to play in terms of what is constitutional. And in spite of what is popularly taught, we do not have three co-equal branches of federal government. We have a system of checks and balances where you have the three branches serve as a check and balance on the other branches, but their potency is not equivalent, which is why Article 1 is much longer than Article 2, which is also much longer than Article 3. Reread your constitutions and you'll see where the potency lies.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.